Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stay with us tonight and even join in the conversation here with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. You can call toll-free, switchboards open, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air. And we'd love to hear your questions here tonight. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Lord, if there's somebody that's listening that needs to trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late, we do pray that something we talk about tonight you could use to reach that person with a gospel message that they might be saved. Lord, thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it certainly was nice to get up this morning and find a little bit cooler weather here in northeastern Ohio. It was hot this past week, and it was hot enough that the global warming people crawled out from under the rocks they were hiding under here recently, and they started talking about global warming again, even though the I'm trying to think of the guy's name that was kind of the grandfather of the global warming movement.
Al Gore.
I was thinking Al Gore, but that's not who it was. There's another guy, but I think he's up in Canada. But he came out and said he exaggerated everything. But while we were suffering in the incredible temperatures here in the eastern part of the United States, out west they've had some unusually cold weather. I was talking to a lady at the nursing home today when I was there at the nursing home service that we have. And she said her daughter is a truck driver that goes about every week into California and in the area north of Los Angeles along the coastal highway there. They're still contending with snow in some of those areas. And I remember looking on a heat index map of the United States on Friday. And while we had about 103 here in northeast Ohio in sort of the Akron-Cleveland area, there were temperatures down around Los Angeles that were only 59 degrees at the same time. And I saw in the weather this morning that some of the coastal areas of Oregon hit the 80 degrees for the first time this summer today, or yesterday, I guess. And so even though we've had some unbelievably hot temperatures, in fact, they had 105 on my thermometer yesterday and 103 the day before as a high, but there's other places that have had some unusually cool temperatures, and even in Florida and Texas, it was cooler than it was here in northeastern Ohio over the last several days. But it's nice to get down to some more seasonable temperatures, down into the 80s, and a lot more comfortable and a lot more enjoyable. It's just kind of hard to get out. If I wanted that weather, I think I'd move to Texas or something where I could get it all the time, but I like the cooler weather. So, at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And got a couple of things that we can look at here this evening, and certainly pray for the situation in the Middle East. I saw where they're beefing up the American military presence in the Persian Gulf. Apparently, part of what's happening over there is that the Iranians and those that are looking to the return of the 12th Imam, the return of the Mahdi, or Mahdi, as some call it, they are convinced that he's going to come and he is going to destroy Israel. And Iran, of course, is going to be the nation that is set up to bring Shiite Islam throughout the world. And so they are convinced that Israel will turn into ashes, as the one Iranian cleric said in regard to that, if they try to attack the Iranian nuclear facilities. But because of the increasing threats there, the United States and some other nations have been building up their forces in the Gulf, or Persian Gulf region, and just trying to prevent, of course, Iran from shutting down the Straits of Hormuz, where the oil that comes out of Kuwait and Iraq and other places comes down through the Persian Gulf and through the Straits of Hormuz. It's not a very wide area there, and the Iranians have threatened to mine it, things of that nature. So do pray for that situation, because along with that, you've got all the unrest in Syria and the fear that Israel has of attacks from the north in Syria, and then also the unrest on their southwestern border with Egypt. And a number of groups have come from Libya. Some Al-Qaeda oriented groups have come out of Libya and have kind of set up along the Israeli border in Egypt, and causing a variety of problems there. So it's a tense area of the world, and the Bible says we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So I encourage you to do so. We can talk about that or talk about whatever, but we have a caller calling in. We have Tamara in Warren, I believe, calling in. And Tamara, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, welcome to you, too.
Oh, thank you. Glad to have you with us tonight.
Thank you. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
How come you're so concerned about what's going on in all these other countries, but it doesn't seem like anyone's focusing on America? And I see a lot of poverty, a lot of ignorance.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of illiterate people walking around.
Yeah, let me try to address that a little bit. I'm kind of concerned about other parts of the world as well as America, because obviously what happens in the Middle East does affect us here, because as a veteran having served in the armed forces, I know that we have people that come from right here in America that are going to be in harm's way if a regional war takes place in the Middle East. I also know that if regional war takes place in the Middle East, which most likely will happen in the not-too-distant future, the price of gasoline here in America is going to skyrocket, and that directly affects me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much self-employed, and I figured it out one time. I probably make less than $5 an hour when I come down to everything, and the price of gasoline really puts a crimp in my wallet, and for my wife, who is a hospice nurse who has to travel to various facilities and people's homes.
Let me ask you another question.
I just continue with this real quick here a second. I know what happens in the Middle East is going to directly affect us here, and with the cost of gasoline going up, it's going to affect food costs here. Farmers having been raised on a small farm, it costs a lot of money for farmers to pay for the fuel that raises our crops. And then, of course, relatives who are truck drivers and retired truck drivers, it costs a lot of money for truck drivers, especially independent operators, to transport that food. And so what happens in the Middle East, it really does affect it. But more importantly, I'm concerned with the Christians that are in the Middle East, and I'm also concerned with the spread of the gospel in the Middle East. Plus, the Bible does say we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And having been a missionary overseas myself, I have a concern for people outside of America as well as in America. And one of the reasons we're doing this radio program is to reach people in America, to alert people in America to what's going on in the world so that we can pray for each other. Most importantly, trying to point people to Christ. And that's one of the things we do. So I think I got a balanced concern for the world and for America, and the best way to help people is to point them to Christ. And I don't know if I answered all of your question there, but you said you had another question as well, so I'll go ahead and jump to that as well.
Right, and be mm-hmm. honest with me.
Sure.
Do you think that Americans are... Excuse me, I sneezed. Do you think Americans are spoiled little brats and they're they don't want to work and they're lazy. I mean, I do. I think they are.
Some
are. Overweight and lazy and they don't want to contribute to anything with society. And that's just what I think about America.
Well, one of the nice things about America is you have the luxury of having the right to think that. I think what you said describes some Americans. And again, one of the things that we hope to do on this program is motivate people to think about our country and to make a difference. Christians are supposed to be salt and light. And when Christians become kind of lazy and lackluster and aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, in other words, become the Laodicean Christians that the Bible warns about, in Revelation chapter number 3. We need to get busy doing things. That's not what built America, but unfortunately, we do have a mentality. We have a mentality in certain segments of America that wants to be pampered. And, you know, we have people that you can't take risk because somebody might get hurt, but that's, you know, not how our country got built. People did take risks. I mean, I'm almost ashamed to admit it. I rode my bicycle without a helmet and knee pads when I was a kid. And I think I turned out reasonably okay. But yet there are people who would never think of getting on a bicycle without a helmet. I'm not saying be foolish, but, you know, we have a certain segment of our society that is soft. And we have a certain segment of our society that wants to be dependent on the government. And unfortunately, the current administration is catering to that mentality. Jesse Jackson, for instance, was bragging that President Obama has put more people on food stamps than any other president. And as a consequence, he's bragging that President Obama has put more people in poverty than any other president. And that's a sad commentary. I would rather see Americans, you know, get education and experience and some initiative and some energy and start doing something.
Educated these days are the black people because they've been such a minority in the past, back in, D.C., and they had to pick cotton or something. So now they get all the grants and all the loans and white people stand a chance.
Well, we can worry about things like that, and you can worry about that, and I can worry about that, and it's not going to change things. What we need is to be proactive. We need to pray for our country, and we need to pray that God would move upon the hearts of Christians, and that Christians would get out into America and start making a difference, because we as Christians have hidden ourselves away in a corner, and then we complain that America is going in the wrong direction when we haven't been involved. And I don't know if you've heard our program before, but we talk about a variety of topics, and politics is one of the things that we don't shy away from. And on our Friday afternoon program, we have a program live with Pastor Al Friday afternoons at 1:30 on this station, and we've touched on some of these things as well. But the biggest thing, responsibility that Christians have is what the Bible calls the Great Commission. And we find in the Bible that Jesus, before ascending into heaven, said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." That's our biggest responsibility as Christians. Some people who call themselves Christians, Christian in name only, have avoided that, and they want to go into all the world and feed the hungry and clothe the poor and all that sort of stuff. And those are noble things, but those are putting bandages on the real problem. The real problem with America is sin. The only way you're going to deal with the sin of America is to reach America with the gospel. America, for all of its greatness and for all of the churches that we have, is actually quickly becoming one of the largest mission fields in the world. There are missionaries from other countries that come here because they're concerned about loss of Christianity in this country. So we as Christians need to be busy about the purpose of reaching America and all of the world, because Jesus didn't say just go into your home country. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in fact, in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, just before Jesus ascended up into heaven, He said to he reiterated this fact by saying, let me just read it here. He said in verse 5, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall, I'm sorry, this is verse 8, but ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. And so our responsibility is to be a witness for Christ here at home. Our responsibility is to be a witness for Christ next door and beyond. And he said, you know, if you were there in Jerusalem, okay, right here at home, at Judea, the surrounding area, that I could say right here in Northeast Ohio and all of Ohio and in Samaria, I could say in states around Ohio, even Canada, since that's right across the lake from us, and then the uttermost part of the earth. That includes Somalia and Tunisia and Kiribati and Tonga and Fiji and Japan and, you know, wherever you care to mention. There's so many places in the world even that haven't heard the gospel yet. And we have a responsibility as Christians, and we've kind of fallen short on that. So I appreciate the call. It doesn't do us any good to blame this group or that group, and it doesn't blame us or do any good to mire ourselves in the past. People on both sides of a variety of issues, they just stay in the past, and we need to move beyond the past, and we need to realize that myself and each one that's listening, our caller included, we have a responsibility to make a difference right now, right here today, where we're at. And if we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it's our responsibility to be a witness to those around us in our Jerusalem. It's also our responsibility to reach out to our Judea. It's also our responsibility somehow to reach out to our Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Obviously, we can't all go there, so we send missionaries out. And when Christians are not concerned about the rest of the world, they're not sending missionaries out, and they're not doing what God has asked us to do. That's why I like a lot of our independent Baptist churches. We practice what's called faith missions, and a lot of people don't understand faith missions. People in denominational churches, most of them probably have never met a missionary, but if you're in an independent Baptist church, you're probably very familiar with the number of missionaries because they come through to the church, they present the part of the world that they believe God is leading them to go and reach with the gospel, and they present the conditions in that part of the world. And it may be another country. It may be New York City. It may be the prisons in this country or the prisons in Mexico or someplace else. It may be a certain people group that's found in various parts of the world, such as the Jewish people or Russian immigrants to the United States or French-speaking parts of the people in the world. And they go into local churches and they present the people that they want to go to reach or the nation or wherever they're going where they believe God's called them. And they give information about that part of the world so people can pray for the people in that part of the world. And then they also, through the opportunity that's given for churches to support them and for people to pray for them, they give the people in that local church an opportunity to be involved in reaching the uttermost part of the earth. It's a great missionary outreach program, and it allows the independent Baptists to do more missions outreach than all of the Southern Baptists and most of your denominational churches probably combined. And that's because, you know, in our program, we have the ability to keep in touch with our missionaries, challenge people with the needs at home, challenge people with the needs around the world. I remember having a relative one time who didn't think anybody should ever go outside the United States. And her philosophy was, we've got plenty of problems right here at home. Why should we be bothered with the rest of the world? Well, maybe because God said so, and maybe because God said to go. And if that's the case, I'm guilty. And but at the same time, we don't want to be so outward focused that we're not inward focused on what's happening right here at home. And so that's one of the reasons we're doing the radio program like this from our church at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Well, I've gone on a little bit here, and just a reminder, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. That's 888-677-9673. That's toll-free. We'd love to hear you with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, well, as we saw from the last caller, sometimes we get onto a subject that takes a little while to talk about. Sometimes we get a few quick things, and that's good as well. We enjoy all of that. Wanted to bring up something here, too, while we're thinking about this. And again, the phone numbers will be here till midnight tonight. Hope to hear from you, 888-677-9673 with your call about the Bible, question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We had an interesting discussion in our Friday night Bible study last Friday night, and we do this every Friday night for about 2 hours. Basically what we do right here on the radio program, we do in our Bible study where the people who come bring various questions, and we got talking about some of the problems that we have right here in this country. And we kind of got onto the subject dealing with health care and some of the issues there and the problems. One of the problems with the Obamacare and all that is that they purposely left out tort reform. In other words, they did not address the issue of trial lawyers and their frivolous lawsuits against medical professionals. And one of the things, I think it was Nancy Pelosi said, well, you know, we couldn't put everything in there. Well, they put a lot of other stuff in there in 2,000 plus pages or whatever. They could have put some tort reform in there, but the real reason they didn't put it in there is because the trial lawyers were giving them too much money not to put it in there. But if we did something to help with tort reform, we could really cut down on some of these frivolous lawsuits and cut down on some of the medical costs. And you say, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, interesting passage in Deuteronomy in chapter 19. And let me see if I can find that here. I had that here a minute ago. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And let's look down in, let's see, about verse number 16, I think it is, or verse number 15. Let's start there. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin or any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. Behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put away, put the evil away from among you. Now let me break that down here for just a minute real quick here. In Exodus chapter 22, the principle of restitution is laid out over and over in a variety of cases. And picking at one of those cases, if a man steals somebody's ox and kills it, eats it, whatever, and he's found out, he has to restore to the man that he stole the ox from five oxen. In other words, the one that he had plus four more. And sometimes somebody might say, I think I'll eat my ox tonight, claim my neighbor stole it and ate it. And that way he'll have to give me five oxen. What a great way to make some money here, make some more. I sell the oxen and I can put a new addition onto my stable and everything else. And so he tries that. He accuses his neighbor and he gets some false witnesses and they end up in the court or in the judges. And the judge realizes that he's made it up. He's a false witness. According to the principle in Deuteronomy chapter 19 that I just read, the man who brought false witness against his neighbor is going to have to give his neighbor what he wanted from his neighbor, which is five oxen. He's eaten his oxen, now he's got to give five oxen to his neighbor. What if that principle was established in our legal system today? And think about tort reform. You get all these ambulance-chasing lawyers that get on late at night. You know, I'll make them pay. Call me, tell me, and I'll tell you what it's worth. And a lot of frivolous lawsuits get filed. They just do it because they can. There's no penalty to the lawyer for being wrong. But what if the judge suddenly said, you know what, You wanted to get $100,000 from this company, and it's a frivolous lawsuit. You made this up. You made this case up, and you coached this witness to lie. You know what? You owe that company $100,000. I think a few of these lawyers would not be making some of the cases that they have. At the very least, we could go to what Great Britain has, where they have loser pays. And unfortunately, our legal system right now really does favor this kind of thing where people can file these frivolous lawsuits. I remember hearing a case in Cleveland one time, one of the Cleveland hospitals, might have been Metro or Cleveland Clinic or University or something, had a case where a homeless woman who did not know she was pregnant came in with stomach cramps and ended up delivering. And before the doctor could get to see her, she delivered the child that she didn't know she was pregnant with. And, of course, when she left the hospital, they had problems. When she left the hospital, a lawyer got with her, and she sued the doctor for not providing adequate prenatal care. He first saw her when the baby was already delivered. Now, that's a frivolous lawsuit. Whatever they were trying to get out of the doctor, they should have had to give to the doctor, you know, if we had this principle from Deuteronomy chapter 19. I think that would help, and that would certainly do this. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 19 here says in verse 21 or 20, it says, "And those which shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you." Has a definite deterrent effect. Well, we're going to be coming up on a break here in just a few minutes, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have a caller. If you'll wait, we'll catch you after the break, and if you want to get in, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. Stay with us. We'll be on till midnight yet tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be on the air with you here till midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stay with us, and we remind people periodically, if you have trouble getting us on the air, you could always tune into, well, let's see, what can we tune into? I just slipped the mind of what WHKWradio.com. There we go. I was just looking at it, and I looked away, and I just couldn't remember it just for that brief moment. WHKWradio.com, and you can tune in. And also our website, you can always tune into that at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. And we have some of our previous programs. We have, if you go and look there, you will see on the right-hand side of the page, previous programs. And when I can get them uploaded, I will. And President Obama stayed in Akron last Thursday night, and I don't know if there's a connection, but my internet went out. So I'm waiting to get my internet back on. And when I do, I can get last Friday's program uploaded and get tonight's program uploaded. But we try to get those on there. And goes back for at least a couple of months, I guess. And you can feel free to go to latenightlive.maplenoel.us, and you can find our previous programs there, downloadable form on the internet. Well, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, of course, is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and you can visit us at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield. We meet there on Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. We also meet there Sundays at 11 in the morning for our worship service in the morning, also 10 a.m. for our morning Bible study, and then again at 6 p.m. for our evening worship service. We'd love to have you visit with us if you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where we take a stand on the Word of God and study the Bible, preach the Bible. We'd love to have you visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And then, of course, we're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, and that's State Route 82 in the heart of North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let him know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. We'll be here till midnight, and we have Jeremiah, I believe, calling in. And, Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Well, you have a great program. I listen to you every week.
Oh, thank you.
A question I have is about how God created Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
Genesis 2:18.
All right, let me
Proverbs.
Get over there. I'm sorry, Genesis 2:18, and then you said Proverbs?
Proverbs.
Okay.
Proverbs.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 18. All right. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, where it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord."
Right.
Okay.
I know God created, our soulmate for each one of us. I know there's a soulmate for all of us. I just haven't found mine yet. I'm waiting for the right time and place.
Well, and, if you make it a matter of prayer, God will provide you with a helpmeet just like he did for Adam. And, sometimes what happens, I think, in our lives we're waiting on the Lord, and we get ahead of God and we cause problems. And sometimes we might miss, the initial one perhaps. But God will provide you with a wife if that's what your prayer is. And we need to trust him.
I'm well dedicated to my church. I go to my church and mm-hmm. I'm involved in it and everything. I just hope one of these Sunday mornings that she'll walk in.
Yeah. Well, and it may be that a case like mine, I was in a small church and I was praying for a wife, and she didn't walk in the doors, but I had an opportunity to go somewhere, and actually I listened to my pastor's advice, and he said, no, you don't have any excuse. Here's the money to pay for this camp of sorts, and I didn't really want to go, and I was using not having any money to pay for it sort of as an excuse. And he gave me the money and said, you got no excuses, now go. And I went down there, and it was an event held by another church. And my wife, who was from yet another church, I didn't know her at the time, had gone there and almost didn't go herself, and we actually met there. And sometimes when you're in a small place or whatever where you're not finding the right one there, God might give you opportunity to go somewhere where you have opportunity to find somebody, and know that from experience. And other people have had similar things happen. But the crucial thing is trusting God, waiting on the Lord, and allowing Him to bring the right person across your path.
Who knows? You might meet her at a diner.
Well, and that could be too. That could be too. I mean, you never can tell. But, you know, something that I would suggest to people that are, especially Christians, if you're saved and you love the Lord and you're looking for a spouse, whether you're a man who's praying for a wife or a wife who's praying for a husband, one of the things I encourage people to do is whether you write it out or you just make a mental checklist. And just start looking for things. Obviously, the first qualification should be, you know, if you're a believer, should be that you should be looking for somebody who's saved. And I know there's always cases where somebody marries somebody who's not saved, and they actually wind up winning their spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever to the Lord. And that happens sometimes, but those are really rare. I know of some cases where that's happened, but those are really rare. Secondly, certainly I think, and both my wife and I did the same thing, that being independent fundamental Baptists, we were both looking for somebody who shared our point of view as independent fundamental Baptists. That's what we were looking for in a spouse. And being King James only, we actually both were praying that God would move us to somebody who is King James only in their view of the Bible, and a variety of things like that. And when we put things, you know, in the proper perspective and the right candidate, you know, God can provide the spouse that somebody's praying for. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes we might not recognize it because we're not in the right relationship with God. And sometimes we're not ourselves in the position where we're ready. And we need to reach the point where we're in the right part of our Christian walk where we can, you know, really be able to enter into a relationship with a spouse where it can be the right relationship, where we can, you know, go together like Adam and Eve did. They complemented each other so that they could serve God together. And it's not always an easy thing, I know. I waited before I got married. I didn't get married till I was 29 years old, and I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I didn't make a mistake by going too fast and getting ahead of God.
Excuse me. How long have you been a pastor at the church?
Actually, coming up in August, I will have been pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield for 15 years. But prior to that, my wife and I started a church in the Samoan Islands. So been in the ministry for, well, since about 1980, I want to say 7, something like 86, 87, something like that. But
have you ever visited other churches?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, when I was on deputation as a ministry and looking at that, I had opportunity to travel to quite a lot of churches and travel to a lot of them before I was even married, before I even met my wife. So, I had opportunity to travel around quite a bit. But then, when I was over in England in the Air Force still, got to visit a few churches, but not too many, as many as
I happen to remember your name, because Nick, you might have visited one of my churches I used to go to.
It's possible. I've been to some churches, but lately I haven't been to too many churches, not in the last 15 years, in the sense because of being pastor, I'm pretty much caught you know, can't really get to other churches. But do appreciate the question there tonight, Jeremiah. And I've got another caller calling in yet, too, that's got a question. It's probably going to take us a few minutes as well. But hopefully some of that help you there a little bit, and also help somebody else that's looking for a spouse, praying and asking for God's direction in that manner. And I think another big piece of advice is don't rush it. Don't get ahead of God on this, and allow God to bring the right person into your life. And so I appreciate that call tonight. And let's see, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Joy in Wycliffe calling in. Joy, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. How are you doing?
Okay, good. I'm in my car. I was just wondering a couple questions. I'll just ask the question, and then maybe you can answer it.
Sure.
Why is the United States of America never mentioned in Bible prophecy, first of all? And do you think maybe one reason is that the United States might, like with all the other nations, they might reject God, and, you know, in the end times, we might be like the other nations, you know, that do reject God, and maybe that's why we're not mentioned, or maybe we won't even exist once the end times begin.
Well, a lot of people have speculated about that because, you know, arguably today the United States is the most powerful nation the world has ever seen. There's really never been a nation that's been more powerful, and particularly as a military power, and nor as wealthy as the United States of America is today. And we stand alone in the world, really, as a lone superpower. I remember an article I read one time a few years ago said that we're really not a superpower anymore. We're a mega power. So we're head and shoulders above most of above the rest of the world, really. And so for the United States to be missing from end times prophecy, a lot of people speculated with that. I don't think the United States is totally missing. In Ezekiel 38, I think there's a reference to the United States, but it's very clear the United States is not a major role. Let me give you that reference real quick, and then I'll tell you why I don't think we're in a major role. And some of this will be, you know, speculation on my part.
I was looking
when I get
in
to
Revelation,
that.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, and I can give you a part in Revelation why I think we won't be a major power as well. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you have the invasion of Israel that takes place, led by a coalition out of the north, led by Russia and places like that, including Turkey and Iran, and also including Ethiopia and Libya, Sudan, Somalia, Tunisia, places of that nature, and a number of other places. But there's a group that voices a little opposition against them. They don't do much about it. They just, it looks like they file a UN complaint or something. That's about it. But in verse 13, Ezekiel 38, verse 13, it says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and to take a great spoil? And when you look at this, Tarshish was a Phoenician outpost that was on the Iberian Peninsula, which is where Spain and Portugal is located. On the Atlantic side, there was a place where, where there was a Phoenician outpost. It was a major place called Tarshish. And there's a Spanish national park there today. It's a little north, I believe, of the American naval base at Rota, Spain. And this was a very important Phoenician outpost because through that, the merchants of Tarshish controlled the tin trade that came out of the British Isles, primarily. Back in this day when copper was such an important metal, copper was good for a lot of things, but it was a soft metal, but when you mix tin with it, it becomes hard, it becomes bronze, and King James Bible uses the word brass because in the 1600s when the King James Bible was put together, brass was the term that was used for all copper alloys. Bronze was a later term that came into use. But bronze is very hard. Bronze was useful to make hard-edged tools and weapons. Mm-hmm. And so to control tin mines gave you an advantage over many other countries, and the merchants of Tarshish became very wealthy by controlling the tin mines of the British Isles. And they had outposts up along the Atlantic coast of going up France and up to the British Isles. So if the merchants of Tarshish were spread out along Spain, Portugal, France, and Great Britain, who might the young lions thereof, meaning the offspring of the merchants of Tarshish, be? Well, we're the offspring of Great Britain, and to a degree also France and Spain and Portugal and all of that, and as well as some other parts of the New World. And so you can see the United States, if we're one of the young lions thereof, being here in prophecy at this point. There's another prophecy, and right now the reference eludes me, where Babylon is destroyed from a far country from the end of the earth. And it sounds an awful lot like it's a lot further from Babylon or Iraq than Israel is, and some speculation that could be the United States.
Is that a literal city of Babylon? Is it symbolic Babylon?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. But it's talking about the area of Iraq, because it talks about how the country is uninhabitable. People don't travel through there. And as a result, even the Arabians don't pitch tents there, it says. But in addition to that, you also see where the Medes come down and they sort of plunder some of the area around there. And the Medes would be the modern-day Kurds. And certainly if something happened to Iraq, and the Iraqis have certainly treated the Kurds pretty bad. Remember Saddam Hussein gassed them with chemical weapons and killed many of them.
You don't think maybe the United States would get to a point where we would reject God to the point that...
I don't think just rejecting God would be enough to do it. And the reason for that is that the rejection of God has already taken place in a lot of the nations that are mentioned there.
And so I
think that's in Isaiah 13, talks about that destruction of Babylon.
Thank you for that, Tarshish.
Yeah, oh yeah. But I wanted to get over to Revelation, looking at the clock there too, and maybe we can come back to Babylon there in a minute. But let me get over to Revelation and chapter number 8. In fact, we just went over this morning in our morning service. Right now I'm preaching through the book of Revelation. And in chapter number 8, we have the seventh seal broken. There's a book of seven seals that's given to us. And the seventh seal is broken. When the seventh seal is broken, seven angels stand up and begin to sound trumpets. Let's see. One of the trumpets, the second, the first angel, there we are. And it looks like a devastating meteor shower hits the earth with the hail and fire mingled with blood cast upon the earth. It says a third part of the trees was burnt up and all green grass was burnt up. And some have suggested that this isn't like one in every third tree across the world, but a third of the earth's surface, so to speak. And if you look on a globe, and you take a slice that encompasses North and South America, that's kind of roughly a third of your surface, or a third of the earth, their land and all. And it could be that this meteor shower devastates the United States, and that would certainly make them less able to play a prominent role in some of the end time events. And here's another thing to speculate on. If the rapture took place today, I believe the United States would be more detrimentally affected than probably just about any other country. And let me give you an example. Back when I was in the Air Force, I remember there was a particular time the base that I was stationed at, because the unit commander was a born-again Christian, and a number of the key people on the base were born-again Christians. Even the base commander was a born-again Christian. had the rapture taken place at that point in time, the ability of our base to function it just wouldn't have been able to function. It would not have been able to carry out its mission, because too many people in too many key areas were born again Christians, and if they had suddenly been gone, the base could not have functioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to hope, and the way the news goes lately, I don't have any real basis to hope this, but I'd like to hope it nonetheless, that the reason the United States is not significant in the end times is because it's devastated more by the rapture, to where we lose more people from industry, more people from society, more people from the military, more people from businesses, more people even from the government than any other country, to where our country more or less collapses in the things that result from that. And could that happen? I don't know. But I think it's got to be more than just the United States turning from God, because obviously the countries that are mentioned, some of them very prominently, such as Egypt and Syria and Russia and Turkey and places like that, they've certainly turned from God, and they're mentioned prominently in the scriptures. And so, but I hope some of that helps you there tonight.
Very good.
All right.
Good, yes.
Well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that. And thank you for that call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. You've got a few minutes left. And we've got Nancy in Euclid calling. And Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi, welcome.
And thank you. I have a question about how you interpret the Bible to define forgiveness. Now, Jesus said on the cross, if I've got this correct, all those that put him on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
However, then I've also heard the position, and I can certainly understand this, where they say people should not be forgiven unless they repent. Well, these people that were responsible for putting Jesus, on the cross, they wanted him crucified. They did not repent. So I wonder if you could explain that a little bit. I know it's not much time, but thank
you. Yeah, and want to point out too, we had a special blessing last Friday. Have Pastor Rusnacko on the radio with us. He was.
I heard him. That's
he
my
was,
pastor.
Hey,
that.
He wandered into the office out there, and I saw him in the lobby, and I thought, I think I know that guy. He turned around. There's Pastor Rusnacko. I said, hey. I'm going to be on the radio in less than 5 minutes. You want to be on? And he said, he thought for a minute. He goes, okay. And so it was good.
Oh,
it was a blessing having him on. Really
that
enjoyed
that.
Well,
that was very exciting. I heard him on there. Wonderful.
But let me get back. We've got just about 2 minutes left or so.
Okay.
Basically, it's God's prerogative to forgive whom he wants to forgive. In fact, some of the people criticized Jesus, saying, hey, who can forgive sins but God himself? And I think what Jesus was saying on the cross was, he didn't want it to be laid to them that they were guilty specifically of crucifying him. It was an action that needed to be taken place. Reality is we've all crucified Christ. People, anti-Semites have attacked the Jewish people and called them Christ killers. And they need to look in the mirror, because all of us have killed Christ. I mean, all of us are responsible for him dying on the cross. And so what they were carrying out there, I don't think God wanted them to be specifically found and charged with that over and above anybody else. Yes, did the Jews kill Christ? Yes, they did. Did the Romans kill Christ? Yes, they did. Did you and I kill Christ? Yes, we did. It was our sins that put him on the cross. And in actuality, if you want to put it this way, God killed Christ, because he put our sins on him. Jesus suffered and died, shed his blood to pay for our sins. He died in our place. And of course, he was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death. And he laid down his life. He took it back up again. And he did it to pay for our sins. Well, we're out of time. Appreciate our callers tonight. And good night. God bless. Have a great week. Should be a little cooler than last week. So hope to hear from you next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.